Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to make it clear that in this respect, a terrorist attempted to change our way of life here in New Orleans, and he wasted his time. Soon after his event, New Orleans continued with the things that make New Orleans a special city. You saw the Super Bowl, as you saw, the Sugar Bowl was handled without incident. Bourbon Street is opened up again, and it's not just for party, it's for family, and it's for others to go down and maybe pay homage to that particular site. There have been balls since then as far as Mardi Gras is concerned, and tonight we're going to have two Mardi Gras activities. The bottom line is that he failed to change our way of life. He failed to terrorize our city. And I want to take an opportunity to also encourage us to come together in strong support of our law enforcement community. We had two officers who were shot by a crazed individual, a deranged individual. They did their job very efficiently. You saw on the videos members of the law enforcement community running toward the danger, running toward the danger. What a very, very positive statement that was relative to our safety. We're certainly sorry that someone who was deranged enough to come into the city twice to analyze what he was going to do to kill people chose on the night of celebration and festivity to kill people. We're certainly sorry that he did what he did. But this is a time for us to unify and to come around and support not only our law enforcement community, but the people who've been victimized by this, the families of those who are deceased, the persons who are injured right now. Give them all the support that we need and make sure that the terrorists and people like him will not ever feel that they can change our way of life here.
Is there anything, I don't know what role the council plays in the security of the city. Is that up to the mayor, or is it, does the mayor come up with the plan and then you decide whether or not you're going to fund it? Take me through that, Councilman.
Well, Tommy, we certainly fund the criminal justice system as far as the law, as far as the police are concerned, and also Homeland Security and the like. Yes, but of course we have the committees such as the Criminal Justice Committee and others which ask questions and which hear the statements and which also during budget hearings, they present the departments of government present to us and we make decisions on financing based on the plan that is presented. Tommy, our city is safe right now. We just showed with the event that we had and all the ongoing activity that we're safe. We certainly recognize that we need to do everything that we can to be as safe as possible. So there are going to be questions asked and there's going to be, you know, if you will, investigations. But I'm going to make sure on my end that I'm not part of a show that encourages people to think that we are. I'm not going to reveal all of the plans that we have to make our city secure. But right now we have more law enforcement officers in the city of New Orleans than probably at any time, including more federal officers here and also state officers, including the National Guard. our police force is well run and they're on the lookout, and we're encouraging citizens to continue to call in what you see. But the New Orleans City Council plays a role in having hearings and also in budgeting to achieve certain outcomes. We'll be looking to see what we can do better to be even more secure, but our city is safe right now.
Saw a story from The Guardian about a safety study that had been done about 10 miles an hour and the technical aspects of bollards and sidewalks and ramps and whatever they call these things. I forgot the walkaways, I think they call them. You know, I'm talking about councilmen, but I guess, and I was in D.C. over the weekend, and I had some conversations with people, and you know, you talk to people along the street, and when they found out that I was from New Orleans, they expressed condolences, and are very nice about it. But they all said, and I found this interesting, that, you know, it could happen here, talking about Washington, D.C., and right now, that place locked down like you wouldn't believe, but I was walking around, I was looking, thinking, well, you know, something like that could happen here easily, could happen there easily. I don't know how you live in a free society, and if it had not been Bourbon Street, and I think originally when it happened, somebody said it could have been, I think the governor said that, it could have easily been Canal Street. I don't know how you make everything safe. I don't know that you can do that, can you?
I don't want to give clues to anybody who's out there who's committing a terrorist act, but I'll give an example. At 12 o'clock on that evening, a ball was dropped on another street in the French Quarter, and it could have happened there. Also, this crazed maniac passed up a couple of streets to turn in front of a police car with a flashing light on Bourbon Street. Again, he drove in from Houston, Texas, stopped at another city, brought bomb-making materials into a short-term rental, went to the street to put a couple of bombs in place so that he could detonate them later on, and just walked on the street and just had coolers and left them, and then came back in a vehicle and decided he was going to turn on a street where people were just having fun. That's all he wanted to do. He was deranged, and he is somebody who cannot be allowed to win. In this particular instance, we are fighting back by being normal and continuing our way of life. But the bottom line is that, yes, Tommy, it's unfortunate. And I guess we want to find answers. We want a place to blame somewhere else. Let me make it clear that the New Orleans Police Department, I'll speak specifically about them because we provide funding, did everything that was necessary and everything that they could to respond to this particular incident. The bottom, you saw officers, again, I'm being redundant, running toward the sound of gunfire, running toward the sound of people screaming, and taking out the subject before he could do anything else. Let's make sure that we come and we unify behind our police chief and also our members of the New Orleans Police Department, because they did what they needed to do in response to this terrorist activity. But, Tommy, you were in D.C. and you saw a lot of cars. If there was someone in that car who wanted to turn off and run into people and he was hell-bent on killing them and himself, what could you do almost anywhere?
That's precisely the point that I was making, because – you know, that right now, especially today, and after what happened on January 6th, 4 years ago, or five, however many years ago it was, you would not, I don't know how lately you've been there or not, but you would not believe the security, the tightness, how everything is in Washington. And even at that, I was looking around saying, well, it could happen here, it could happen there. So there's no way to make anything completely impervious and live in a free society. When we come back, I want to talk about the process some more, if we can, about the selection of contractors and bollards and who decides these things to make sure that at least they get in the most bang for their buck and the most protection for their money. We're talking to Councilman Eugene Green about what happened on Bourbon Street on January 1st, a terrorist attack by a deranged, crazed individual. And again, part of living in a free society, I'll say this. I don't know how, if somebody's crazy and they want to do something and they're willing to give up their life, look at what happened in Butler, Pennsylvania. There are only so many things people can do. 820 traffic now, WWL. On this January 6th, King's Day, talking to Eugene Green, city council member, about the Bourbon Street terrorist attack. And if a crazed individual is set his or her mind to do something, I don't think there's anything in a free society you can do to stop him. However, that being said, as a leader and as the leader of a city, you do want to do everything you can to make that protection possible. So among all of the bollard talk that has come out, the bollards in 2017 were being replaced, in the process of being replaced, by new ones. But Ben Meyer's story at TimesPicayuneNola.com points out that the ones that were there in 2017 were rated to withstand a collision of a 15,000-pound vehicle moving at 40 miles an hour. The ones that are being installed are rated to withstand collisions with a 5,000-pound vehicle moving at about 10 miles an hour. And according to this, that would not have stopped this crazed individual's vehicle. And I'm looking at the story here, and they talked about minutes, saying that according to the crash scale and so forth, a crash scale rating scale for bollards based on a 5,000-pound vehicles was deemed the best choice based off the worst-case scenario. According to the meeting minutes of the workshop, minutes do not say who determined that rating should not be used. Is there going to be any kind of council investigation into the process that was involved in determining what bollards were chosen and why? Even though, again, if a crazed individual is determined, is hell-bent, they can, I guess you can look at it two ways. Councilman, you know, you're a smart man. You can make a logical argument. Well, if nothing's going to, if you can go anywhere you want, then why even try? Or the other argument is, well, you got to minimize as much damage as you can, right? So yeah, do you understand what's going on with these bollards? Do you understand why they would go with not the one that was recommended?
Well, interestingly enough, we have a hearing today of our Public Works Committee, and it's got on the agenda a presentation that involves the public works issue of these bollards, and it's designed to get answers to questions. I mean, certainly it's not going to be designed to release information that could encourage a copycat or some idiot to decide he's going to try to do something for the city, but we are going to work to get answers. And it starts today with an official hearing, if you will, and there will be additional hearings and additional discussion. Tommy, I promise you I'm going to finish answering that question, but I want to make sure I don't run out of time.
Go ahead.
I want to say one thing. Chief Kirkpatrick has asked the New Orleans, has asked the New Orleans Police and Justice Foundation to hire someone so that she could hear an opinion of someone who has been in areas where he has worked in capacities that involve providing security for high-profile events. And so the New Orleans Police and Justice Foundation is going to be engaging William Bratton, who served two terms as the chief of the New York City Police Department, one term as the chief of the Los Angeles Police Department. So he's been in the largest cities in America providing police protection and support. He also served as the commissioner of police in Boston, so he has significant experience. Private sector dollars being used at the request of the police chief because she recognizes that, and we all recognize that, you can hear from others who have opinions and who have experience because it may help. And the mayor has asked President Biden and all associated with on a federal level to consider providing resources and assistance that could help us to be able to analyze and provide better security. We as a council have our hearings. They're not going to be hearings that are designed to lessen our security, but to enhance our security. And we will be engaged very often in discussions with those who provide the services, such as the bollards and the security throughout our city, doing what we can to make our city safer.
Thank you, Councilman. I appreciate your time as always. Let me clean this up. I misspoke. The 2017 bollards are rated to withstand a collision with a 15,000-pound vehicle moving at 40 miles an hour. The Cantrell administration is installing bollards that are stood to withstand a collision with a 5,000-pound vehicle moving at approximately 10 miles an hour. The difference being that those are designed primarily to keep a car from, I guess, accidentally pulling into a storefront or something along those lines. 8:30, we'll talk to David Hammer when we come back at the latest on the investigation. Right now, time for WWL First News.